If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 14. We'll be reading from verse 13. The Bible said, "And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God. And God said unto him, Go not up after them, but turn away from them, and come upon them against the mulberry trees. And it shall be that thou shalt hear a sound of the going the top of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon unto Gezer. And the fame of David went out unto all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look around now and say, "Hey, you know what's going on this month?" How many of you know who we're Church of God, right? That means we're Pentecostal. Therefore, there is a day that takes place in the month of May every year that ought to be important to every one of us. It's called Pentecost Sunday. Amen. It's when we celebrate the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the church that set us on fire and moves us through the world. And I'll be honest with you, if we've ever needed anything, we need some fresh fire. Amen. Praise God. We need God to move on us and minister to us. You know, years ago I was reading. I wasn't real fond of the guy, but he had some stuff to say. Field Marshal Montgomery from Britain, who was the leader of the British military force in World War II, said the biggest problem Britain had in World War II was that they were prepared to fight World War I. Hello? Now, what that meant was we're about 20 years behind in military power and strategy, and so we're getting caught with stuff we're not able to defend ourselves with. Sir Christopher Warren, who designed St. Paul's Cathedral of London, made a big, beautiful building, and he built it to last forever. Problem was, he didn't air condition it. Hello? He underestimated the needs of our day and the design of his day. But many today have a benevolent patronage of the Church of Jesus Christ and mistakenly believe that the church is not prepared for our atomic age life. They have to have people today that say the church is not prepared to take care of us. They say the church is like a bicycle on a four-lane highway trying to go down the road. And therefore, we don't have the accomplishments to touch people and to do what we need to do to help people's lives. But I tell you with all that, I believe the church is still the church. I believe God is still God. And I believe God is still on the throne. I believe the word of God still works for today. I believe you can hide the word of God in your heart right now, and it's just as powerful today as it's ever been. It doesn't matter if you use the Old English or the modern English, as long as you're in the word of God, I believe it's going to give you power, it's going to give you authority, it's going to give you anointing, it's going to break down the yoke of bondage, it's going to help to set you free. Amen. And I believe that my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever we need, my God did not plan and mess up on what he done. Could you say amen? See, I believe God put everything in order. I believe he set it in order, set it on a timeline. And I believe he knows what's going on, knows what's going to happen. I think he knew before that oil well blew out in the south over in the Gulf that it was going to happen. He knew it was going to take place. So why did he stop it? Because he didn't want to. Things are going to happen. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times were going to come. We're seeing those things happen around us all now. God's told us it was on the way. But he also said something else, that at the same time there would be an outpouring of evil in the world and everything would be falling apart, there was going to be a God standing on the right hand side who was going to have a remnant of people, who was going to have a church that was going to move in the power and the authority that only God can give. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in that number, that anointed number who are overcomers through the power of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Now you look at David's situation. David's fighting an enemy that he's already defeated several times. Let's face it. David, 16 years old, takes out the greatest guy they got in their army, a guy named Goliath. Hey, I mean, he's been handling these folks for a long time. He even went to their country, act like he's crazy, and they turned him loose because they were going to kill him for killing Goliath. And he goes over there with Goliath's sword, walking around with it. And then starts acting like he's crazy, so they let him go. Then he gets to be king and starts wiping them out. And he wears them out on a regular basis. And there's David tearing them up. But look, some of us, the biggest problem we got, we keep fighting the same foes. You keep fighting the same battles. Have you ever noticed that if you study people that have problems living right, 90% of the time the things that keep taking them out, stuff they've been fighting all along and they just won't ever get victory over it and go ahead and decide to put it under the blood and let it go? They keep having struggles with something they could let go of that's not really going to, it may not kill them, but it's keeping them and hindering them in their relationship with God. And so they always make it to here and then fall back down and make it to here and fall back down. And they keep wondering, what am I going to do? It's time some of us made up our mind. I fought this fight long enough. I'm ready to take them out. Glory. But I notice this. He comes to realize he needs a new strategy. If you're going to keep fighting the same battle, don't keep fighting it the same way. After a while, the enemy going to figure you out. Hello? You read your history, you'll find the British Expeditionary Force went to South Africa to fight against the Zulu Indians. They had guns and cannons, armored vehicles. The Zulus had spears and shields. Not even hard shields. And yet, they completely destroyed the British Expeditionary Force down to every man died simply because they kept watching how they fought and eventually realized if we send a group down through the middle, they will follow them. And they let them right up into a valley where they couldn't get them out, dropped rocks behind them, stuck their vehicles, caught them where they couldn't fight, and just went into them and killed every one of them. Amen. Because they studied their strategy and realized they fight the same way every time. It's not hard to beat them after a while. Can I tell you, Satan don't know new strategy. He's been fighting the same old strategy for years. You go back and read it. It was in the time of the book of Judges. When they were fighting against the children of Israel, they used a thing called the Blitzkrieg or the lightning strike. In World War II through Adolf Hitler, it was called the Blitzkrieg or the lightning strike. He's still fighting with the same stupid strategy. But we've got a God that if we will inquire into him, will give us new strategies, will give us new ways to overcome. If we read this word, he'll give us new words to use against the enemy that'll make us overcomers. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. David's there. The Philistines are coming back for seconds. And all of a sudden, David goes and inquires of the Lord, and the Lord said, don't fight them now. Matter of fact, go over to the mulberry trees. Y'all may not understand this, but if you read this, you're going to find out. They actually circled the Philistines and got behind them. In other words, cut them off so they can't get home and just get done with it this time. Hello? Somebody said, well, preacher, what are you talking about? This time some of you circle the wagons. Get behind that problem and keep fighting you and make up your mind, this is it. I'm getting victory today and I ain't going to keep fighting the same battle every time you turn around. Amen. He inquires of the Lord and the Lord told him, God says, wait until you hear the sound of the wind moving at the top of them trees you're standing under. Amen. Can you imagine you sitting there? You got this army that's got you outnumbered. Of course, y'all know y'all bad. Y'all done whooped them 2 or 3 times. Hello? See, some of y'all, that's your biggest problem. Well, I can handle this anytime I want to because you've overcome it a few times and then went right back to it. That ought to tell you something. If you keep going back to it, you ain't got victory over it. Hello? If you really want victory, you got to make up your mind. I want this out of the way. And David gets over under them mulberry trees, and he's standing there, and those guys are going, David, you know, we could get them in that valley where it's level, and we could wear them out. David said, God didn't say move until we heard the sound of the wind, and I ain't heard it yet. Amen. And one of them said, we need to move. And he said, no, we need to wait. Amen. Now notice something. He's waiting on God to do something. The results of the new strategy, the enemy's defeated. David's fame is known throughout all the land. David returns to Jerusalem and makes place of God to worship. Amen. David's over there, and all of a sudden he hears the wind in the trees. He said, fellas, God said we heard the wind in the trees. That's his ghost, the host of heaven. The power of God's going out before us, and God's going to deliver them into our hands. Can I tell you, some of you need to realize there are things in your life you ain't going to quit because you decide you ain't going to do them no more. Come on, church. You're some things, some thoughts, some carnality, some things you're born with. You're not getting rid of them because you decide, well, I just ain't going to do that no more because you just can't overcome it that easy. Hello? When I got saved in the Church of God, you know, I had long hair. I had to get my hair cut. I didn't have to. I did. I got it peeled off, even worse than it is now, just about it. And I'll never forget, I come back to church and folks didn't even know who I was. It was like, oh, wow. But, you know, I realized you can dress any way you want to. That don't make you holy. I bumped into a lady in the mall one day, and I thought I had to know her because she had the bun. Those of you that ain't Church of God, talk to Miss Barbara. She can explain that. Glory. But the Church of God, that's the way ladies used to dress. They put the bun in, and she looked like holiness from way back. And I looked up and I said, well, I got to know that lady, and her face looked familiar. And I walked up and I said, sis, how you doing? I'm Ken Stroop. She said, you got a light? And I went, you ain't the person I thought you was. Glory. I mean, you know, she looked holy, but I mean, you know, you get out there and you realize she wasn't the lady I knew from church. When I started walking off, she cussed me out for not lighting her cigarette. And I realized then I really wasn't the woman I thought it was. But you see, church, the point I'm making is you can dress and act the part. But if you're not really moved on the inside, nothing has changed. And we've got people that don't understand. You can dye your hair purple. That doesn't change the color of your hair. You can change your clothes and walk a certain way. But that doesn't change what's on the inside. The outer part of your body is not what God looks at. It is the inner source of man that brings us to the relationship with God that we need to have. And my Bible said he is not a Jew who is one outwardly and whose circumcision is of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly and whose circumcision becomes of the heart and his praise becomes of God and not of man. And we need God to get in us and say, help us, Lord. We've got thoughts, carnalities, things in our life. We need to get out of the way. We need victory. And to get it, we got to wait. And when we hear the sound of the wind in the tree, we can go out against the enemy and victory is going to come. J.H. Jowett, a great preacher in the early days of the church, made a statement one time, you can no more cleanse yourself of skin cancer by washing it with water than a man can cleanse himself of sin by just saying, I'm going to get saved. It takes more. It takes the blood of Calvary, but it also takes the penetrating power of the Spirit of God to come into a man's life and to lead him out and to give him victory. David needed more than just military might. He needed the anointing of God. He needed that touch of God to move in his life. Can I tell you, if we've ever needed anything in the church world, we need a sovereign move of the Spirit of God. We need that anointing to come in and help us break the yoke of bondage that's binding us down and keeping us from a closer walk with him. Could you say amen? Amen. Somebody said, now, preacher, you believe that? Yeah, I do. William Harvey discovered how blood circulates through the body. It's an amazing thing. He was in a place one night and the guy got cut. He got to noticing the blood shooting every time the heart pumped. And he got to thinking about it. And that's how he discovered the circulation of the blood in the system of the man's body. Hundreds of feet, even miles of blood vessels flow through your body. And it flows through there and it passes through those cells. And it takes new life and oxygen to the body. It keeps it renewing itself so it don't die. You ever tied a string on your finger? Watch the end of your finger turn blue? Don't do that. It's a dumb thing because it's actually dying. Y'all ever heard somebody make this statement? I ain't hurting nobody but myself. Y'all know how stupid that thing is. When you're a member of the body of the church and you say you ain't hurting nobody but yourself, can I ask you something? If you stomp your toe in the dark, does the rest of your body feel it? Huh? Some of y'all act like you ain't never stomped your toe. Man, I've caught my little toe and my eyebrows was going, oh! Because they knew it happened because you're all part of a body. So if you hurt yourself, you hurt the body. You have an obligation to the body. Hello? You get a bad appendix, does that appendix bother everything else? Of course it does. That's why they take it out. We don't want to take out, we want a healing. Glory. Hello? But the point I'm trying to make, I got a friend that's a doctor. And he knows me. I'm gullible to try stuff. And he told me one time, he said, you got one of them blood pressure things? I said, well, my mama does. He said, put it on your arm, pump it up tight as you can stand it. Start squeezing your hand, see what happens. I pumped that baby up. I got it so tight it was squalling, trying to come off my arm. I'm sitting there. And about that time, my hand said, and after studying a few moments, I began to realize something very important he forgot to tell me. None of the rest of my body wanted to move either. And I'm sitting there, and I can't understand it. I'm telling my hand, go undo that junk, get me out of this mess, and nothing's working. And I'm sitting there, and finally I get the chair rocking, and it falls, and as it does, I hooked the thing on the side of the table and ripped it open. Air come out. I got it off. I walked around for 30 minutes, arm numb. I called the office. I need to talk to him. He gets on the phone. I said, hey, I did that thing with the blood pressure. He said, hey, I meant to tell you, have somebody there with you. I said, that's needful information. It's a little late. He said, but you got the point, didn't you? I said, yeah. He said, basically, when you kill one part of the body, you begin to just demobilize the rest of the body. And that's why Satan likes it when he can find people who really never make up their mind. I'm going all the way with God. Because as long as they're there, he can hold back the body of Christ and keep them from being where they are. That's why we are our brother's keeper. And we need to pray one for the other and help one another with the struggles we have in this life. Because we're all headed down the same road and the same avenue. Could you say amen? Man. So David decides, I'm going to fight this enemy. God said, go over and get by the mulberry tree and wait. Somebody said, now preacher, you believe that? The Bible tells us David waited on the Lord. Amen. And then notice what he did in Chronicles, the 15th chapter. And David made a house in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for a tent. All of a sudden, David said, now I've won a victory. I've got to go pay homage to God. I'm going to go praise him and magnify him and worship him. Can I tell you, church, some of us need to realize when real victory comes in our life, that's the first thing we're going to want to do. Amen. That's what bothered me about people. Said, well, I don't think worship's important. I begin to wonder what they've lost. Because, man, when God gives you a victory, all you can think about is going back to church and getting into it. Amen. I don't know about y'all. I mean, maybe y'all didn't come where I come from. But I'm a drug addict alcoholic, stumbled into church, got saved by the grace of God. And now when I get a chance to go to church, I'm excited about the opportunity. Because I have never forgotten that day in February of 1974 when I tried to commit suicide and wasn't successful and found Jesus that night and found a whole new life that I don't want to get rid of anymore. And now when I have the opportunity to go to church, I want a place where I can worship him. I want a place where I can magnify him. I want somewhere where I can lift up the name of the one that brought me out. And real victory will give you a praise in your heart and a song in your heart to tell him about who he is unto you. Hallelujah. Psalms 119. David said this, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise and give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with my servant, O Lord, according unto the word. Teach me, God, good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed in thy commandments. Amen. I ain't sure David wasn't singing something like that when he got into church, that little place he built. But listen to the 56th Psalm. He said, when I cried unto thee, and then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. The Lord I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. For thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet also from falling, that I may walk in the light of the Lord and the living. Could you say amen? Amen. All of a sudden David says, God, not only have you given me victory over my enemies, but you're giving me victory over myself. And that's more than anything that can ever come against me, because I know that in you I can live and I can move and I can have my being, because it is in you that I am more than a conqueror. Could you say amen? I got to hurry. It's getting close to 12, the witching hour. Glory. I got layup, man. I didn't preach last week. Glory. Amen. But what does this mean today? We need to follow David's example. First of all, he inquired of the Lord. 14th chapter, 10th verse. Said David inquired, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into my hand? In 2 Samuel 5, same thing. It's the same story. He said, and when David inquired of the Lord, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them. See, I told you, you'd read it and find where he went behind them. And come upon them against the mulberry trees. Then he waited. Church, listen. Patience is the most important thing we got to have in God. I had somebody the other day was all upset because they felt like God told them something and it hadn't happened. I said, my Lord, you wouldn't want to be Joseph, would you? God said, what are you talking about? I said, well, he had a dream. It was 27 years before it came to pass, but it came to pass. I mean, he was dumb enough to tell his brothers. I probably wouldn't have done that. You know, I got three brothers, and I doubt I'd walk up to them and say, hey, I had a dream the other night. Y'all were bowing before me and calling me Lord. They'd bow, all right. Joseph's brother did the same thing. I mean, they faked his death, sold him into slavery to get rid of him. But 27 years later, they were standing in a room bowing before a guy named Savnath-Benea, who was the second ruler of Egypt, and he turned and he said, listen, fellas, I'm your brother. I'm the one you sold into slavery. I'm the one God gave a dream 27 years ago, and it's now come to pass, and you're here. Come on, church. Amen. Some of you need to realize things don't happen overnight, but if you learn to be patient and wait on God, listen to what Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait on him. And of course he followed that up in the 40th when he said, blessed are they who do wait upon the Lord, for they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to tell you, when you learn how to wait on God and you learn how to trust in God, amen, you get a power that makes you an overcomer. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, just for those of you that may not have picked this up, that word wait in the Hebrew, in the Chaldean, because Isaiah is written in Chaldean while he was in captivity over in Babylon. And he wrote this work in Chaldean, and so therefore the Chaldean word for wait is a word quava. It simply means the binding together of rope to make a stronger rope. And what it simply says is, blessed is our hope in God. Not just waiting in him, but putting our hope in him. Because we bind ourselves in him. If I wrap myself in God, I take on the strength of God. And when I begin to wrap myself and bind myself in him, then I mount up with wings, his wings, not mine. I mount up in his glory. I mount up in his power. And then I can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And I understand what it is to be a conqueror. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Amen. But notice this. He defeated his enemies. Amen. If we've ever needed anything, we need a fresh outpouring of the presence of God. Hello? Psalms 92, David said it this way. For lo, my enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, and it shall be anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. Mine eyes also shall see my desire of my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. For the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Those that planted the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the God, for they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. They shall show the Lord is upright, for he is my rock, and there is no righteousness without him. Amen. What did he say in Psalms 1? Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor does he walk in the way of the sinner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. And then he's going to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, that's going to bring forth fruit in its due season. I'm telling you, if we'll line up in God, put the word of God in our heart, get an anointing of that fresh oil in our life, my blessed God, it'll change your life all the way around. Could you say amen? And I'm going to close just a moment. But we need some fresh oil. Need fresh fire. See, church, a few years ago I was in Lynette, Alabama. They're building a new church. And they were tearing the old church down. And they got in there tearing the church down. And we found a bottle of olive oil stuck in the wall behind the pulpit. It was green. It had been there for years. Somehow it got knocked off and in there, and they couldn't get it out. So they were bothered to get it. They were tearing that wall down. We found that bottle. I'm a suspicious person, so I just reached over and popped the top off. There wasn't nobody in that building by the time that top hit the floor. That's some of the stinkiest mess I ever smelled in my life. I run outside. One of the construction workers said, preacher, you go back in there and get that. I said, I ain't. He said, I ain't going back in there until it's out. I had to go back in there. Got that bottle and run out with it. They put a fan in the door, pull the rest of the stench out. I started to pour some of it on the floor on the way out just to, you know. But I got to thinking about how repulsed I was by that smell, and I think about people coming to church, living off of yesterday's anointing, trying to do something with what used to be in their life, and I wonder how God feels when they say, I'm a sacrifice to you, and he pulls the cap off. It's like, oh, y'all ain't laughing no more. What's wrong? Say, well, preacher, I got the baptism Holy Ghost 20 years ago. Well, what have you done for God lately? Amen. We need fresh fire. Old fire burns out. How many of y'all country enough know how to build a fire? Y'all remember when you had to bank the fire? My stupid brother would purposely not bank it the day I was supposed to get it going. I had to go get new fire or fresh fire. You didn't want new fire because you had to start all over, dig all the ashes out and everything. What you wanted was take that thing most kids think for popping popcorn up there by the fireplace, that little thing with a handle on it, and they think you pop popcorn in it. That was to go next door and borrow ashes that was hot because somebody let yours get cold. And you come back and dump them in the fire and put some fat lighter on it, put a couple of logs on there and get it going again and bank it up so it'll burn all day. You don't need new fire, you just need fresh fire. And you got to go to the source to get it. Hello? Amen. We always depended on somebody around there to have a fire going with some hot coals so we could get her going again, so you didn't have to dig out and start all over again. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need some fresh fire in the church. We need to go to the source. Amen. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, you got the Holy Ghost. That's all there is. Uh-uh. The Bible said daily they entered into the sanctuary of the Lord. Daily they magnified him. Daily there was an outpouring of the Spirit. And daily they were adding to the church them that were saved. Every time we come to the house of God, there's a fresh anointing. There is some fresh fire. There's a fresh touch of God. Every time you go to an altar to pray, you can get a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. You can be moved with the power of his anointing. And I think it's time the church realized God is ready to move in the mulberry tree. He's ready for this church to go forth, and we need to understand the enemy's there. But if we'll take him out, we can defeat the enemy and be overcomers in the power of God if we just wait till we hear the sound of the wind. Woo. Stand with me all over the house. The Bible said when they were in the upper room, the day they were filled with the anointing of the Spirit of God, there came a sound as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. Peter said when he's preaching at Cornelius' house, it basically happened the same way. He said, the Spirit of God fell on them as it did on us in the beginning. We need some fresh fire. We need some overcoming grace. I believe with all my heart there's people in this church who want to walk with God so bad, but they kind of got a Jacob complex. No matter how bad they want to get close to God, they can't get rid of some of their little quirks that they need to get rid of. And the only way to do it is get a hold of God. Just as Jacob finally did one night wrestling in a tent. He may have drug his leg the rest of his life, couldn't run, but he walked with God with a new name and a new promise. And I believe with all my heart, there's some folks in this building that you've been struggling with some things in your life, and you keep thinking about things you want victory over, but you can't quite get by it. But I'm telling you this morning, if you'll get under the mulberry tree, spiritually, and wait. You hear the wind moving. That Spirit is going to move. Amen. You're going to feel the presence of God begin to take away the desire. There's an old song in the hymn book. It's about the Spirit of God. It said, for the thirsting of the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago, I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away when the Comforter began to abide with me. Real faith comes when the Spirit of God unites with the Word in your life, and it becomes the breath of God. It becomes the spoken Word of God. Not just words wrote on a paper, but it becomes the real Word. The Rhema word. Of course, as if God just spoke it directly to you. Friend, that kind of word will break bondage. That kind of word will set you free. Father, I thank you today, God, for your love, your mercy. God, I thank you because you, Lord, are able to give us real victory. Father, I believe you right now. Reach down and touch with the power of your love. Holy Spirit of God, move on us in Jesus' name.